those who have attended funerals since I've been here, today's homily will be very familiar to them. It comes from the Rescue Project, and it's something we need to do as a parish. Today we're celebrating the Solemnity of Christ the King, so it's a perfect day to introduce the Rescue Project to the wider parish, and the gospel fits perfectly. How often do we think about the fact that the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ and the Son of God, the King of Kings, actually assumed a human nature? How often do we think about that? Because if it's true, and I know it is, it changes everything. We gotta think about that every day. But before we go there, I wanna kind of think about what it means to be human. You know, if we were to commit, well, let's not think injustice first. Let's think about if I were to ask somebody to, I don't know, well, since we're approaching winter, if I were to ask somebody if they were to, if they would shovel my driveway, and we agreed on a just price, and they said sure, and so the first snowfall comes, and they go out there, and they shovel my driveway. Well, you know, until I pay them, it's kind of like these scales of justice are a little bit out of balance. They've done a job for me, and now I have to pay them. So when I give them what they deserve, the scales go back into balance. As human beings, we kind of operate that way. Now let's think in terms of like an injustice. If I were to maybe smack somebody, Mark. wouldn't be very smart. Let's say it wasn't that big a deal, and I was like, what was I thinking? I'm sorry, Mark, and Mark, being the gentleman that he is, said, no problem, Father, I forgive you. Okay, maybe that apology put those scales back in balance, just a little out of whack. But if it was more serious than that, you know, maybe I'd have to pay some fine. Even more serious, maybe I'd have to go to jail. And once my time was complete, I might get out of jail. If I did something really serious, I could even lose my life. You know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. We have this sense of justice that we can put the scales back in order. I mean, what is justice? Justice is giving to another what they deserve. That's the nature of justice. Now, let's think about something else. Not just sitting against a fellow human being, violating his rights. What if I violate the rights of God? What if I sin against God? What happens to those scales? Did they just like slightly get off kilter? Infinitely out of balance. Whacked. They're gone. And we can't fix it. We did it. Adam and Eve. Don't eat the apple. I mean, even if God says don't eat an apple, you know, whether it's a true story or just a story of truth, if God says don't eat the apple, don't eat the apple, because that's God's command. If we eat the apple, even something as minor as that would put those scales infinitely out of balance, because God said don't do it. God is divine. We are human. If we disobey Him, if we sin against Him, if we violate His rights, the scales are infinitely out of whack, and we can't fix it. We're done. We're finished. We are condemned to hell. That's what happened. And we all sin. That means we all violate God's commands. We can't fix it. But we did it. Just like if I do something to Mark, you know, I have to make restitution. I have to give Mark something of my own, whether it's an apology or money or give up my freedom, even my life. I have to do it. Now, we're the ones that sinned against God, so we have to do it, but we can't. It was impossible. You know, justice and religion are related. Justice is to give to the other person what is due them. Religion is a man's attempt to give God what is due him. what do we have to give God that he didn't give us first? Nothing. So we were really in trouble when we sinned. St. Anselm calls this his theory of satisfaction. Why the God-man? Cur homo Deus? Why God became man? Because man sinned, man needed to make restitution, so God assumed a human nature and he offered the perfect sacrifice to the Father to make restitution for us. In our human nature, he died. Only God could give what God deserves, and God did it. And this is his religion. Every time we come to Mass, we are at Calvary. Now, it's not the bloody sacrifice 2,000 years ago, but it is the same sacrifice. It's Jesus offering himself to the Father perfectly. It's perfect religion, giving God exactly what is due, giving his Father exactly what is his due. And when we come here, we participate in that. Don't let anybody tell you that everything is the same, that all religions are equal, because they aren't. This is the religion of God. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ offered the perfect sacrifice on the cross to the Father, and it's his religion, and it's our religion. Catholicism is the religion of God. Who is this king? Who is this king who came to rescue us? You know, when Jesus was crucified, as we heard in the gospel, there were two criminals on either side of him on that first Good Friday. And they didn't choose to be there. But Jesus did. He laid down his life for our salvation. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, God and the Son of God, the King of the universe, laid down his life so that we could live. Now, because of this, many people might see Jesus as some easygoing pacifist who calmly went to his death, an innocent victim. And some believers might even think he was weak. It's true that Jesus calmly went to his death, an innocent victim, but this was by no means the act of a pacifist or a weakling. Jesus chose to suffer and die. Nobody took his life from him. Nobody has the power to kill God. Jesus was an innocent victim, but a victim of his own choosing. Why did Jesus do this? Why did he choose to be crucified and die as a mere criminal? Well, let's just say he was on a mission. A one-man, undercover operation to rescue humanity from the grip of Satan. Jesus came, veiled in our humanity, so that Satan wouldn't be able to see his divinity hidden beneath. It was a mission to liberate captive humanity, one that only the God-man was able to accomplish. Essentially, Jesus conducted a full-scale invasion into occupied territory to destroy the enemy's stronghold from within. His mission was to seek out and destroy Satan's stranglehold on humanity and annihilate death. All-out war on Satan and his minions. But it wasn't a generic mission. It wasn't for you all. It was very personal. Only for you. Only for you. Only for you. Only for me. Only for those two criminals that hung beside him. And the list is as long as humanity itself. Personally. He knew each one personally. He died individually for each one. On the cross, because Jesus is God, he was able to reach back in time to the very beginning, and reach forward in time to the very end, and draw everyone to himself so that he could suffer in himself everything that humanity had incurred as a consequence of sin in order to reconcile the world to his Father and finally destroy death forever. Satan couldn't grasp this. He has no concept of love, let alone sacrificial love. Satan had no idea who he was dealing with. So what did he do? He rallied fallen human nature, to crucify this mysterious figure so that death would swallow him up like it had everyone else and he could be rid of him. But Satan played right into Jesus' plan. This mysterious figure was the God-man, and death had no power over him. Satan and his fellow demons were ambushed, and they never saw it coming. At Jesus' death, Satan suddenly realized that he had been duped all along. His kingdom was ripped from his grasp, and death no longer had any power over humanity. Like the good thief, we need to humbly ask for this gift that he's offering us, because apparently only one thief is saved. Jesus said to that good thief, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The good thief has been referred to as the greatest thief of all time, because at the very end of his life, and one probably not very well spent, he stole heaven. Ironically, though, it was Jesus who really stole heaven from Satan so that all of us could potentially escape damnation. I think that's amazing. The king came to rescue his subjects. It's usually the other way around. Subjects died for the king, not the king of kings. He died for us. All hail the warrior king. So let's not think for a minute, though, that we can wait till the last hour and get lucky like the good thief. We need to take advantage of all the grace that Jesus is offering us. Calvary. Because remember, only one thief apparently was saved. So let's say every day humbly, with childlike confidence, "Jesus, remember me